But if a person wants to be free from sin in his life, such a person can find salvation. So, you know, Jesus said he did not come to call righteous, holy people. He came to call sinners, not sinners. He came to call sinners to repentance. So the world is full of sinners, but he didn't come to call all of them. He said, I've come to call sinners to repentance, to give up their sins. So the only people Jesus came to call are those who want to be free from the sin they see in their life. So if they don't see sin in their life, then of course there's no possibility of their being saved. See, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Matthew 9. And we read in verse 12. No, Pharisees, verse 11 said, why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and the sinners? And Jesus said, it's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So, we know that throughout his life, Jesus, the person who prepared the way for John, Jesus was John the Baptist. And it says he came to pave the way for Christ to come. And the main message of John the Baptist was repent. So without that, you cannot accept Christ. So the only person who can repent is one who's serious about, who seriously discovers there's so much sin in his life. So I feel that today, so many people, and many, particularly those from nominal Christian backgrounds, they've come to Christ without first of all realizing that they're sinners. It's like somebody dragging you to a doctor and you don't believe you're sick. You don't realize you're sick, then you're not going to take seriously what the doctor says. See, if you don't believe that you got cancer and the doctor prescribes a treatment, you're not going to take it. And that is the condition of many, many people who are sitting in Christian churches today. The Christian church has become like a club, nice club to belong to. You don't have to pay any price. You just sit there. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to make it clear to all such people, you are not born again. And you will see in the day of judgment that my words are true. And it'll be too late. It's better to realize it now. That's why I want to really make it clear, because I don't want anybody's blood on my hands. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, he said, Acts 20, he said, everywhere, verse 21, Acts 20, verse 21, I preach repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I tell people to turn from their sin. That's the first thing Paul preached everywhere. And then believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I have said for years and years and years, that repentance is one of the missing messages in today's Christianity. And because people are not told to turn from their sin, they're not really born again. You cannot be born again if you don't come to Jesus recognizing, not just recognize, everybody in the world recognizes you're sinners, but wanting to be free from your sin. If you're not fed up with your sinful life, you really can't be born again. Like I've said to many people who want to join our church, I say, please don't come and join our church if you're not fed up with your own sinful life. Go and join some other church. There are so many churches in the world. Why you want to come here and waste our time and defile all the others with your worldliness. You just want a comfortable place to sit and make friends with people or somebody who's something like that. We don't want such people. We want people who are fed up with their own sinful life and who are longing to be free from sin in their life, who are crying out to God, "Lord, I'm fed up of this sin and that sin and the other sin." And if that type of cry is not in your heart, I want to tell you, you're sitting in the wrong place. This is not the place for you. Please find another church. Because you are polluting this church. You're hindering the witness of the church with your worldliness. New people come in and you speak all your worldly stuff to them and pollute them. We don't want such people. And we're going to gradually eliminate such people from this church. Because we want people who are fed up with their sin and who are crying out to God, not only in the meeting, but at home, say, "Lord, I see sin in my life. I want to be free from it. I want to be free from it." That is the mark. Those are the only people Jesus came for. So he says, "I preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." And he says in the last part, I have proclaimed to you, verse 27, the whole purpose of God, not part of it. Therefore, verse 26, I am innocent of the blood of all men. A preacher who preaches repentance and preaches against sin and the whole purpose of God, his hands will be free from guilt. But any preacher who does not preach against sin, when people in his church go to hell, he will be guilty also. I believe that. That's what Paul says. How can Paul become guilty, verse 26, of the blood of other people? He says, I'm innocent of the blood of all men because, verse 27, I have declared the whole purpose of God. I can say that. Everywhere I've gone, I've declared the whole purpose of God. A lot of people got offended. It bothers me the least. Because I'm not here to please man. I'm here only to please God. And so, it doesn't disturb me if some people are offended with me. They were offended with Jesus. They were offended with Paul. They were offended with every servant of God in the history of Christianity. Except the men pleasers and the money lover preachers. All the others, people are offended with. Because they don't. Most people don't like to hear the truth about themselves. But it's only those who love the truth who can be saved. So, if you don't love the truth about yourself, it's very difficult to be saved. And the great danger is that when we don't love the truth and we hear the truth and it doesn't disturb us, we can sit comfortably and listen to the truth and be completely unchanged. The great danger is that God Himself will deceive you. Turn with me to what I call the most scary verse in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The most scary verse in the New Testament is not that you can go to hell. No. The most scary verse in the New Testament is that God Himself will deceive you. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that Satan comes with the deception, verse 10, Satan comes with the deception of wickedness for those who perish, for those who are going to hell. Because, why are they deceived? He's talking about verse 10, please see the activity of Satan who comes with false signs and wonders and with the deception, all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, for those who go to hell. Because, why did they get deceived? Because they did not love the truth so as to be saved. They did not love the truth that they heard to be saved from sin. And when God sees that, here is a person who's sitting in some church and coming to some meeting and does not receive the truth, does not love the truth to be saved from sin, you know what God does? See what God does. God himself will send on them a deceiving influence so that they may believe what is false. Can you imagine God trying to deceive you? So it says here, if God deceives you, you will be thoroughly deceived. And deceived means you think you're saved when you're not saved. You think you're born again when you're not born again. Because not only the devil is deceiving you, God is deceiving you. There's no hope. The devil is already a deceiver. He's called the deceiver of the whole world. My only hope is that God is on my side and prevents me from being deceived. But here it says, if I don't love the truth, God also will deceive me. And when God deceives me, it says here that I will believe what is false. Can you imagine God, who loves the truth, wanting me to believe what is false? That means I will believe I'm born again when I'm not born again. That is believing what is false. And who makes me believe that? God. Why? Because I don't love the truth. I don't love the truth about myself. That's why I say this is the most scary verse in the New Testament. I never want it. And so, what is the way to escape it? Very simple. Just two things. Both are mentioned in verse 10. I must love the truth. When God speaks to my heart, I must face up to it and say, Lord, it is true. I'm guilty. And secondly, again verse 10, I must be desiring to be saved from my sin. So if I love the truth about myself when God shows it to me, and I'm eager to be saved from my sin, I will never be deceived. And I decided that many years ago.